Shalom Aleichem. Mishneh Yomi continues in chapter 14, the final parak of Zivachim, Mishnayot 5 and 6. Today, we're continuing a bit of Jewish history regarding the Mishkan, and we'll see the temple. Bau leGilgal. When Am Yisrael came to Gilgal, we crossed the Jordan River. We set up the Mishkan, the tabernacle, at Gilgal. See Sefer Yehoshua, Joshua, chapter 4 and 5. Vehutru Habamot, and at this time, the Bamot, basically building an altar or in a place to make an offering anywhere, not just in the Mishkan, was allowed. And the Bart Nura here explains the reasoning is based on the Pasuk, Vayikra chapter 17, Psukim 4 and 5, Asher Yishchat b'machane. The issue is he needs to slaughter it in the camp, Petach Ogome Lohaviu. He didn't bring it to the Mishkan. So it's only when there is a camp, a machane, the entire Jewish people is camping together, that's when there's an issue of shchutei chutz, of not bringing it to the Mishkan to do the offering. Prat leGilgal, this excludes Gilgal, shlo hayashav machane. There was no one camp. The Am Yisrael was settling during the time the Mishkan was in Gilgal, those 14 years, over the 7 years of conquest of the Jewish army going out and conquering the promised land, and 7 years of dividing the land amongst the tribes and the families. So we're not all in one place at one time to have a machane, to have one united camp. And also, back in the Mishnah, kodshei kodshim, the holy of holies, nechalim lifnim minaklaim, could only be eaten within the curtains of the Mishkan, the same curtains that Moshe had set up. And of course, they're eaten by the kohanim, and kodshim kolim, but lesser sanctified items, the shlamim, the bechor, etc., bechol makom. Those could actually be eaten anywhere, because they could bring them on a bama and basically eat them any place in Eretz Yisrael. Now, Mishnah Vav is the next stage in Jewish history after the 14 years of conquest and dividing the land. Bo l'shilo. We brought the Mishkan to Shiloh. This is in Yehoshua, Joshua, chapter 18, and it was in Shiloh for actually 369 years, as the Gemara explains on Daf 118. So once the Mishkan was at Shiloh, Nesru Habamot, it was forbidden to use a bama, to have a backyard altar anywhere, Lo Hayosham Tikra. And the Mishkan Shiloh, it didn't have a roof. Ela, rather, it was Bait Shel Avonim. It was made of stones, Milmaton, below. So the walls were stones, Virot, Milmolon, and curtains on top. So the Mishkan, the original Mishkan that Moshe made in the wilderness, was actually wood walls for the Mishkan structure itself. And in Shiloh, they built stone walls in place of those wood walls and put the original covering on top and, of course, the original curtains around to make the courtyard. The Mishnah comments, V'hi haita menucha. This is what's called menucha in the verse in Devarim chapter 12, verse 9. Ki lo batem adata, because you have not yet come, ela menucha, to the resting place. That implies a temporary place, that is Mishkan Shiloh. Vela nochala, and into the inheritance. We're going to see this refers to the temple in Yerushalayim. Now back in the Mishnah, kodshe kodshim, the holy of holies, the chatat, the asham, the mincha, nechalin livni meklayim, those have to be eaten within the curtains of the Mishkan, by the Kohanim, of course, and Kodshim Kolim, and lesser sanctified items, Maiser Sheni, and the second tithe, Bechol Haroe, in any place where they could see the Mishkan from where they are. So when the Jewish people would come to Mishkan Shiloh and bring their korbanot, they could eat their korbanot, you know, the Bechor and the Pesach, the Shlamim, etc., on all of the hillsides surrounding Mishkan Shiloh, where they could still see Mishkan Shiloh. And the archaeologists have identified with very good positivity the makom of Mishkan Shiloh. They've even built a yishuv there, because what they found were a lot of broken kalim, broken earthenware kalim, on all of the hills that are facing that one spot where they proposed Mishkan Shiloh was actually sitting. But on the opposite side of the hill, where you can't see that spot, they didn't find any broken kalim. And this is due to a concept we mentioned in chapter 11, Dam Chatat, that the taste of the offering would be absorbed into the earthenware kalim, and then they would have to be broken after the time limit for eating those offerings. And the metal ones could be cleaned and koshered and rinsed within the right area and reused again for other things, but the earthenware ones had to be broken in the correct area. And for Mishkan Shiloh, that was Bekol HaRoeh, on those hillsides that they could actually see Shiloh. So due to this halachic fact, the archaeologists have, they think, identified positively the Makom of Mishkan Shiloh. And it's also interesting, Meiser Sheni here at the end of the Mishnah is mentioned by Mishkan Shiloh because Meiser Sheni was in effect, but during Gilgal, there was not yet Meiser Sheni because the land had not yet been allocated to the Jewish people. We're going to see later that Meiser Sheni was eaten all of Yerushalayim, so these hillsides surrounding Shiloh were temporarily kind of like Yerushalayim, the place of the Shekhinah, where they would, people would come to be inspired and come to eat their Meiser Sheni every year. Yishar kochachem, tizku l'mitzvot.